In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The truth is the most convincing story that maps onto reality, and that's why the central narrative is falling apart.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You must see the central narrative for the fiction that it is. We are Americans.
While elections are sometimes messy, this was a secure election.
The founders began the fight for human liberty and self-governance, and it's up to us to finish the job.
I tell you what, we are in a truth emergency right now.
This is the end game.
It's Monday, April 22nd, 2024, the 1188th day of dystopia. I'm your moderator, Chris Paul. Let's be reasonable. A warm welcome and hello to all of you listening to the podcast on the day of its release. The only way to do that is by becoming a paid subscriber at imyourmoderator.substack.com. You can do so for as little as $50 a year or $5 a month, and in doing so, you will be supporting me, the work I do, and this show as it expands. And if you can't, or you simply don't want to, continue listening to the podcast a couple days later on a wide variety of podcast platforms and, of course, Rumble. All I ask is that you share it with your friends. You can find the links to the podcast, the writing, the social media, and the merch site by visiting linktree.com/I'm Your Moderator. All right, so we are back from another weekend at the Great American Restoration Tour. This was the fourth conference we've had for Badlands Media, and I always have a great time at these, getting to exchange some ideas in person with some of my good friends, getting to see many of you. And so I want to take the opportunity not only to express my gratitude for people who attend GART, but everyone who listens to and supports this podcast as well, whether it's sharing the shows and the content or going to the live events or financial support or the kind words or the tips on where we should look for information. I know I could not do all of this without all of you, and I am sure that my friend John Harold believes the same about Badlands Media, so thank you all very much. So let's get started where we left off last week, and that is gossiping about Mike Johnson's package. And let's start with the official story from the New York Times. This is from Saturday, April 20th. House approves $95 billion aid bill for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. The House voted resoundingly on Saturday to approve $95 billion in foreign aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan as Speaker Mike Johnson put his job on the line to advance the long-stalled aid package by marshaling support from mainstream Republicans and Democrats. In four back-to-back votes, overwhelming bipartisan coalitions of lawmakers approved fresh rounds of funding for three U.S. allies, as well as another bill meant to sweeten the deal for conservatives that could result in a nationwide ban of TikTok. And so the conservative argument for banning a social media platform in this country has been burnished, or so we are told. Now, those conservatives voting for all of this look more patriotic. They got some concessions from the other side, which is, you know, also them. The uniparty right and the uniparty left are the same uniparty. Overwhelming bipartisan coalitions of lawmakers. That is the uniparty. The uniparty right and the uniparty left have come together to fund uniparty global regime proxy wars and to potentially ban a social media platform they don't control. They tell us they are working on our behalf, even though the people of the country don't want any of this to be passed. If you continue to attest to the legitimacy of those people and their legitimate authority to exercise this sort of power, then you are voting for this. You're welcome to get mad at it. But if you continue to participate in their system and continue to fund their system, you are voting for their system. All of this can be reversed simply by the country recognizing their illegitimacy. But let's continue on. The scene on the House floor reflected both the broad support in Congress for continuing to help the Ukrainian military beat back Russia and the extraordinary political risk taken by Mr. Johnson to defy the anti-interventionist wing of his party, who had sought to thwart the measure. Minutes before the vote on assistance for Kyiv, Democrats began to wave small Ukrainian flags on the House floor as hard-right Republicans jeered. And you will notice that the narrative setup is that Democrats were for the Ukraine funding while Republicans were for the Israel funding. But since it was all together, they had to form a bipartisan coalition and just fund all of it, despite the fact that the American people did not want them to fund any of it. That is a uniparty coalition that works in opposition to the will and desire of the people at whose consent these illegitimate politicians pretend to serve. Hard right Republicans may have jeered for show, but the uniparty right predominantly went along with the uniparty left in their approval of Mike Johnson's package. The legislation includes $60 billion for Kyiv, $26 billion for Israel, and humanitarian aid for civilians in conflict zones, including Gaza, and $8 billion for the Indo-Pacific region. And of course, we went through the features of Mike Johnson's package last week. You gotta love how the New York Times notes that this $26 billion for Israel also includes humanitarian aid for civilians in conflict zones, including Gaza. Otherwise, all of our illegitimate politicians who are supporting this measure would look like they were approving of genocide. And people who are waving Ukrainian flags as they pass funding for Ukrainian Nazi battalions on Hitler's birthday would never approve of genocide anywhere and could never approve of it because they're approving of money for Israel. And the 75-year-old regime proxy state called Israel can never commit genocide because they are the ones who genocides are committed against. That's their entire brand. We had unelected members of Congress running around the citadel of our democracy, waving flags of another global regime proxy state as they pass funding for three global regime proxy states, while deeply committed to an agenda that has been consistently destroying the lives of American men and women for years. We are talking about committing the United States of America to defending two countries whose borders were drawn by the global regime within the last century, borders that aren't recognized by many countries in this world, and a so-called country, Taiwan, that according to U.S. policy is part of China. But let's continue. It would direct the president to seek repayment from the Ukrainian government of $10 billion in economic assistance, a concept supported by former President Donald J. Trump, who had pushed for any aid to Kyiv to be in the form of a loan. But it also would allow the president to forgive those loans starting in 2026. So the whole idea that it's a loan in the first place just goes out the window immediately. It also contained a measure to help pave the way to selling off frozen Russian sovereign assets to help fund the Ukrainian war effort and a new round of sanctions on Iran. The Senate is expected to pass the legislation as early as Tuesday and send it to President Biden's desk, capping its tortured journey through Congress. And then the New York Times moves into the part of the article where they present a range of opinions to convince you that people from across the political spectrum, but still within that uniparty bubble, all agreed that Mike Johnson presented the best package anyone has ever presented. Our adversaries are working together to undermine our Western values and demean our democracy, Representative Michael McCaul, Republican of Texas, and the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee, said Saturday as the House debated the measure. We cannot be afraid at this moment. We have to do what's right. Evil is on the march. History is calling, and now is the time to act. History will judge us by our actions here today, he continued. As we deliberate this vote, you have to ask yourself this question. Am I Chamberlain or Churchill? Yes, which character from a fictionalized history of another country are you? It's worth remembering that just within the last couple of years, they have called the comedic actor in Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, the Churchill of our age. And so you might as well reframe the question. Who would you like to be, Zelensky or Chamberlain? Chamberlain, as his avatar exists in our contemporary understanding, well, what he's famous for doing is nearly appeasing those Nazis that Winston Churchill did not appease at all. So you can either be the guy that appeased the Nazis or the guy that would never appease the Nazis unless they were helping to defend the very sovereign borders of a very real nation against a very brutal invasion by Vladimir Putin, the autocratic dictator, who is analogous to Adolf Hitler, despite the fact that he is trying to denazify that area that has had Nazis in it since Adolf Hitler, rather than the comedic actor who is leading those Nazis. I know it seems like it doesn't make any sense, but then you have to remember that we are told the comedic actor Volodymyr Zelensky is at least like half Jewish, and that changes the whole calculation. Let's continue. The vote was 311 to 112 in favor of the aid to Ukraine, with a majority of Republicans, 112, voting against it, and one, Representative Dan Muser of Pennsylvania, voting present. Now, Dan Muser was on stage at the Trump rally in Pennsylvania a little over a week ago, and he gave a very, very bad and uninspiring speech. He was one of those guys who thought that he could wow everyone by simply repeating MAGA-sounding slogans without seeming authentically MAGA at all. It was honestly pretty embarrassing. Now, is he a good guy? I don't know. Maybe there's something else going on behind the scenes with Dan Muser, but from what I can tell of his speech and this vote, he doesn't sound like a champion of America First. The House approved assistance to Israel 366 to 58 and Taiwan 385 to 34. The bill to impose sanctions on Iran and require the sale of TikTok by its Chinese owner or ban the app in the United States passed 360 to 58. And what should we think of all those Republicans who made a big display of how they would not vote for the Ukraine part of Mike Johnson's package, but still went along with the rest of it? Do we give them credit for not supporting the Ukraine funding? Why would we give them credit for that when they supported the rest of the funding for the other fake foreign proxy wars that just happened to be delayed on a timeline? Are the dynamics considerably different with Israel's situations in the Middle East than they were in Ukraine regarding Russia? Will the situation in Taiwan regarding China be any different? No, none of them will be any different. They are all different parts of the same phenomenon playing out worldwide. The New York Times quotes the fake president. Today, members of both parties in the House voted to advance our national security interests and send a clear message about the power of American leadership on the world stage. At this critical inflection point, they came together to answer history's call, passing urgently needed national security legislation that I have fought for months to secure. And obviously, the fake president would have said that in a much softer and creepier voice. Minutes after the vote, President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine thanked lawmakers, singling out Mr. Johnson by name, quote, for the decision that keeps history on the right track. Democracy and freedom will always have global significance and will never fail as long as America helps to protect it, he wrote on social media. The vital U.S. aid bill passed today by the House will keep the war from expanding, save thousands and thousands of lives, and help both of our nations to become stronger. Outside the Capitol, a jubilant crowd waved Ukrainian flags and chanted, "Thank you, USA," as exiting lawmakers gave them a thumbs up and waved smaller flags of their own. Apparently, the New York Times thinks that their readers will find all of this impressive. You have to wonder who organized that jubilant crowd. Whoever it was, you have to think that their goal here would be demoralizing Americans, especially those who support Donald Trump, because all of this is being presented as a major defeat of the MAGA movement in Congress. They are trying to sell it as good conquering evil, but it's only coming across as the Uniparty doing absolutely whatever it wants on behalf of a totalitarian state. And because they passed a bill to fund Ukrainian Nazis on Hitler's birthday, let's take a second and brush up on totalitarianism. This is from Wikipedia. Totalitarianism is a political system and a form of government that prohibits opposition political parties, disregards and outlaws the political claims of individual and group opposition to the state, and controls the public sphere and the private sphere of society. In the field of political science, totalitarianism is the extreme form of authoritarianism, wherein all socio-political power is held by a dictator, who also controls the national politics and the peoples of the nation with continual propaganda campaigns that are broadcast by state-controlled and by friendly private mass communications media. The totalitarian government uses ideology to control most aspects of human life, such as the political economy of the country, the system of education, the arts, the sciences, and the private life morality of the citizens. In the exercise of socio-political power, the difference between a totalitarian regime of government and an authoritarian regime of government is one of degree. Whereas totalitarianism features a charismatic dictator and a fixed worldview, authoritarianism only features a dictator who holds power for the sake of holding power and is supported either jointly or individually by a military junta and the socioeconomic elites who are the ruling class of the country. So nearly every word of that maps onto the situation we're dealing with now, and one would expect that as we are in the late stages of the same playbook playing out here in America. These are the ideological descendants when they aren't the actual bloodline descendants of the same regime from back then. And it's not just the European aspects of that regime, by the way. the Muslim Brotherhood were the Nazis of the Middle East. That's not an analogy. It's not a euphemism. It is literally true that that is the case. Huma Abedin, who is still married to Anthony Weiner, by the way, although separated, Hillary Clinton's former right hand, has her own links to the Muslim Brotherhood, and she is now dating George Soros' son, Alexander Soros. They were photographed over the weekend in their floor seats at a New York Knicks game, so one of the most public displays that could ever be made. And most people understand that George Soros has admitted in a 60 Minutes interview, of all places, 60 Minutes being, of course, the home for major limited hangouts. But George Soros admitted in an interview in 1998 that he helped the Nazis load his neighbors onto Nazi trains. George Soros, of course, is also a major supporter of the Clintons, especially Hillary, who purely coincidentally has the exact same eye bags that George Soros has, and also the same eye bags that Volodymyr Zelensky has. But I'm sure that, again, that is all just coincidence. Now, the only differences between this Wikipedia explanation of totalitarianism and what we see in the United States right now, first, you could question whether or not Joe Biden counts as a charismatic leader. He is really just more of a Manchurian candidate, a puppet for someone like Barack Obama, who was a charismatic leader. And I suppose you could question the military junta aspect, too. Although to the extent that Joe Biden is recognized as a legitimate president, he would be seen to have the military on his side, at least the optics suggest that, though he also would then control various federal government law enforcement and quasi-military organizations. And under his illegitimate administration, we have been told at least that they plan to expand those. Nancy Pelosi, for instance, wanted a branch of the Capitol Police in California. But let's get back to the New York Times. For months, it had been uncertain whether Congress would approve new funding for Ukraine, even as momentum shifted in Moscow's favor. Momentum didn't shift. It was only ever in Moscow's favor. There was never any point at which Ukraine was doing better, not better than Russia and not better than they had done the day before. This has been a steady, gradual decline for Ukraine and for the global regime. That prompted a wave of anxiety in Kyiv and in Europe that the United States, the single biggest provider of military aid to Ukraine, would turn its back on the young democracy. And it raised questions about whether the political turmoil that has roiled the United States has effectively destroyed what has long been a strong bipartisan consensus in favor of projecting American values around the world. The last time the Congress approved a major tranche of funding to Ukraine was in 2022, before Republicans took control of the House. Remember when we all got excited that Republicans had control of the House? They were going to do all the big investigations. They were going to maybe even pass some legislation in a bipartisan manner that was going to help the American people. Remember when we were all excited about how the establishment Republicans had done just the bare minimum to win a slight majority in the House, and now we were saved? And remember how Con Inc. Media told us it was Donald Trump and MAGA's fault for not getting more Republicans elected? The people had dared to support candidates they liked instead of the ones that the Republican establishment demand they support? Ah, yeah, those good old days. Those days when we were told that Ron DeSantis was the leader we all needed and he was going to be the presidential candidate in 2024. Ah, the good old days. With an America First sentiment gripping the party's voter base led by Mr. Trump, Republicans dug in last year against another aid package for Kyiv, saying the matter should not even be considered unless Mr. Biden agreed to stringent anti-immigration measures, which were actually not stringent at all. When Senate Democrats agreed earlier this year to legislation that paired the aid with stiffer border enforcement provisions, Mr. Trump denounced it. And Republicans rejected it out of hand. But after the Senate passed its own $95 billion emergency aid legislation for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan without any immigration measures, Mr. Johnson began first privately, then loudly, telling allies that he would ensure the U.S. would send aid to Kyiv. In the end, even in the face of an ouster threat from ultra-conservative members, he circumvented the hardline contingent of lawmakers that once was his political home and relied on Democrats to push the measure through. It was a remarkable turnabout for a right-wing lawmaker who voted repeatedly against aid to Ukraine as a rank-and-file member, and as recently as a couple of months ago declared he would never allow the matter to come to a vote until his party's border demands were met. We are told that Johnson was influenced by some of his staffers, that according to Breitbart last week. We have also heard about Mike Johnson being brought into a skiff for a briefing that changed his mind about everything having to do with national security. Mr. Johnson structured the measures which were sent to the Senate as one bill to capture different coalitions of support without allowing opposition to any one element to defeat the whole thing. And there you have it, the unipartisan compromise. They didn't even bother including the border measure. Not that I wanted the border measure. The border measure was also a joke. It would not have solved the problem on the border, and it would suffer from the same issue as the rest of it, which is that everyone involved in passing it and then signing it into law holds their position illegitimately in a defunct government that the people simply need to recognize as such so this can end. And just one more bit from the New York Times. In a nod to right-wing demands, Mr. Johnson allowed a vote just before the foreign aid bills on a stringent border enforcement measure, but it was defeated after failing to reach the two-thirds majority needed for passage. And the speaker refused to link the immigration bill to the foreign aid package, knowing that would effectively kill the spending plan. So the Uniparty got everything it wanted, except for the border surveillance and the additional funding and staffing to facilitate UN migration's worldwide slave trade as it comes through our southern border. I'm sure that they will have some more immigration-related incidents in the mainstream media designed to rile everyone up and put some momentum behind another package being passed. They haven't fixed all the problems they've convinced you only they can fix, so they're eventually going to need another spending bill passed. Who knows what else they'll attach to that? But they got everything they want when they set out the unipartisan compromise 6 or so months ago. In fact, they got even more than that because they included the TikTok ban, which will affect other apps, and it includes the Repo Act. This is from Zero Hedge this morning. The headline, Repo Act passage has authorized Biden to confiscate Russian assets and transfer to Ukraine. Starting a couple paragraphs in, a summary of the Repo Act, H.R. 4175, on the congressional website reads, this bill requires or authorizes various actions related to the confiscation and disposition of Russian sovereign assets, which include funds and other property of Russia's central bank, direct investment fund, or Ministry of Finance. Under the bill, the president must require U.S. financial institutions to notify the Department of the Treasury of any Russian sovereign assets located at such institutions. The president may confiscate any such assets subject to U.S. jurisdiction. Confiscated funds and the proceeds of liquidated property must be deposited into the Ukraine support fund established by the bill. So the central banks are going to seize assets and redeploy them to people who do not own those assets. All of that is going to be done under the guise and the authority of the President of the United States of America, supposedly following the will and consent of the American people, but obviously without any of that. And no one involved in this situation believes otherwise. They just simply don't care because they have convinced themselves that what is good for the global regime is good for them. And what is good for them is good for everyone, even despite the fact that everyone is paying for it, not them. And they are reaping the benefits, not anyone else. What they are doing in pushing for this, though, is setting a precedent of allowing the seizure and redeployment of assets for people and organizations involved with hostile regimes and involved in committing crimes against humanity, etc. Kind of sounds a whole lot like a bunch of executive orders enacted by Donald Trump during his term that remain in effect right up until now, even though they will absolutely be targeting the man pretending to be president and his allies in the global regime. As with everything else, we are seeing precedent set, and we are seeing that precedent argued for by the very people who are too ignorant to realize that these arguments will be used against them. Back to Zero Hedge. The now approved bill further specifies, the Ukraine Support Fund shall be used by the Department of State to compensate Ukraine for damages caused by the Russian invasion. The Ukraine Support Fund may also support an international body or mechanism for 1. Reconstruction and rebuilding efforts in Ukraine, 2. Humanitarian assistance to the Ukrainian people, or 3. Other purposes which support the recovery of Ukraine and the welfare of the Ukrainian people. At the end of the article, Zero Hedge notes that some Ukrainian officials have floated the idea of reparation bonds backed by future claims for war damages against Moscow and utilizing frozen Russian assets. I imagine we will see something like that in the future in our country, courtesy of, for instance, the big tech companies, among countless other corporate interests who have been involved with not only the overthrow of our country through fake elections and the invasion of the southern border, but COVID and countless other crimes against humanity, including, of course, human trafficking and that global slave trade operating at our southern border. It is also worth noting that when they talk about reconstruction efforts in these various countries, we've already seen the model for that in Ukraine after the Maidan Revolution. George Soros pushed all sorts of quote-unquote private money into Ukraine to fund the growth of entities and corporations put there to implement the global regime's agenda. And the profits on all those investments would go right back into George Soros's Open Society Foundation. This is not money to make the people of Ukraine whole. This is money to reinstall the regime's infrastructure in Ukraine, but even bigger and better than before. This is just the last step of Ukraine's Build Back Better program. The rationalization for all of it being that Vladimir Putin staged his very brutal invasion. Back to the article. Importantly, it seeks to bring in international partners toward establishing a mechanism which would tap Russian assets in Europe. The bill also directs the president to seek to establish with foreign partners an international mechanism to provide compensation to Ukraine using the Ukraine Support Fund and Russian sovereign assets confiscated by foreign partners. But some EU leaders have expressed anxiety over the plan and have thus far resisted, mainly on concerns that it would undermine global trust and confidence in Western banks. Moscow could also see what it deems theft of its sovereign funds as essentially an act of war. And that makes sense. That is a huge amount of money. $300 billion is larger than the GDP of all but the top 46 countries. It's more than the annual GDP of countries like Portugal, Peru, New Zealand, Nigeria, and oh, look at that, Ukraine. On Monday, the Kremlin reacted to the weekend passage of the Repo Act, vowing to fight and inflict corresponding punishment on the U.S. and West. Putin's spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters, "We are very skeptical about this because this is essentially the destruction of all the foundations of the economic system. This is an encroachment on state property, on state assets, and on private property. By no means should this be perceived as legal action. It is illegal. And accordingly, it will be subject to retaliatory actions and legal proceedings. If such measures are implemented, of course, many investors will think 10 times before making any investments in the American economy or storing their assets there. Peskov added, noting there's still a long, complex road ahead if Washington ultimately seeks to pull the trigger on stealing Russia's assets. This is a very dangerous precedent, Peskov underscored. It's amazing, isn't it, that our illegitimate Congress just passed a measure that says it can steal seized Russian assets and redeploy them for their own interests in violation of international law because they believe that they have made people angry enough at Vladimir Putin. They are passing an American law that says they can do something illegal, or perhaps more accurately, they can force something illegal to be done. They are proudly destroying their own system. And to the extent that all of this was inevitable, and of course it was, it's good to see them doing it just right out in the open so people can see. Wave your Ukraine flags. Show us exactly who you are. Here is a member of the Democrat Communist Party from Virginia, Jerry Connolly, letting us know that Ukraine's borders are our borders.
Some say, well, we have to deal with our border first. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border. It's the border between depraved autocracy and freedom-loving people seeking our democratic way of life. Do we have a stake in that outcome? Yes. Undeniably, yes. Will we rise to the occasion? Will we stand shoulder to shoulder with our Ukrainian brothers and sisters who for 1,151 days have been holding off the depraved, thuggish dictator Vladimir Putin, who has respected no norms of warfare? He's targeted children in hospitals and schools. He's bombed apartment blocks, killing thousands.
Vladimir Putin has violated Jerry Connolly's norms. He has violated the norms of the global regime. That is his crime. He's not going along with their system and playing by their rules. Turns out he also has half the world's people and half the world's economic activity behind him. Jerry Connolly is making the argument that if the war is lost in Ukraine, it is lost everywhere. Ukraine, as he describes it, is part of, quote-unquote, our democracy. Jerry Connolly's staffer may have miscalculated the length of this Russian conflict. Maybe they thought it started in 2021 because 1,153 days ago now, he said that on Saturday, would be February 24th of 2021. The Ukraine conflict, as reported, started on that date in 2022. But Connolly is panicking. He is expressing that our democracy worldwide could potentially end if this money for Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan is not secured, since the illegitimate House has now given its approval to Mike Johnson's package. It is being sold to the American people somehow as a victory for our democracy. This is going to save our democracy worldwide because, of course, Donald Trump is coming back. And the goal right now is to do everything possible to tie Donald Trump's hands and make sure that their global regime allies don't lose their cash cow so that they're able to continue implementing the global regime's Agenda 2030 while Donald Trump is in office. They figure they can thwart and subvert him for another 4 years the way they attempted to in the first term and in this second term. And as noted in the piece in the New York Times, there was great celebration after everyone agreed that Mike Johnson's package was exactly what we all needed. And no one celebrated more than New York congressional candidate Nate McMurray. This guy is competing in a Democrat primary to replace a member named Brian Higgins, who is leaving. That primary in New York is being held next Tuesday, April 30th. And my first reaction upon seeing McMurray's tweet and realizing that it was timed perfectly to make McMurray a national name prior to his primary was that this, in essence, was his campaign. He was going to be the guy that hated MAGA more than anyone else. He is saying to the people of New York's 26th congressional district, I will hate MAGA more than anyone else on your behalf. He's not even being shy about it. Taking advantage of the hate movement is his campaign strategy. Here was his tweet in celebration of Mike Johnson's package. Slava Ukraine, die MAGA, die, you lose. He tweeted that Saturday afternoon. It became an immediate controversy, blew up all over the place, and for good reason. He is saying that well over half the country should die. He is taunting the American people and saying, you are not allowed to stop us from passing legislation you don't want. It's not your government. It's not your money. It's not even your country. All of that is ours. You can join us and then we'll give you a little bit of it if you promise to always obey and always behave. And if you dissent, if you contest us in any way, we reserve the right to kill you. So in a matter of hours, he went from being someone no one has ever heard of to someone being talked about across the political spectrum. This is his entire campaign, and that's what it was planned to be. This was Nate McMurray addressing the controversy on Sunday. Listen, I'm not trying to antagonize MAGA, but I refuse to let them strong-arm us into silence. These are people who are censoring MAGA and promoting the censorship of MAGA. But let's continue. Too many Democrats are out there, timid. That's why the reaction to me is always so strong, because they're not used Democrats being bald in their territory. Now, that is what he wrote, but I think he probably meant because they're not used to Democrats being bold in their territory. He's saying most people understand that Democrats are whiny little bitches, but Nate McMurray wants everyone to understand that he is a whiny little bitch who has a big mouth on social media. This MAGA movement, he says, preys on folks who are often scared and not the most informed, twisting their legitimate worries into racism, xenophobia, and outright paranoia. You've got to call it out loud and clear to save them from themselves. That's my mantra. There's a better way. I make sure they hear it. Now, that is the most stereotypical Trump-deranged uniparty left communist pablum you could ever possibly encounter. This is what they genuinely believe. It is distilled so well. Donald Trump and MAGA prey on quote-unquote folks who are disillusioned. They are scared. They're not very informed. They have some legitimate concerns, but once MAGA and the America First movement get their hands on these people, they take all of that and they turn it into racism, xenophobia, and outright paranoia. It's not the people who attend BLM rallies and join Antifa who have succumbed to the propaganda and the programming. No, no, no. It's those Americans who want to be left alone and want the government to stop violating their basic constitutional and human rights. They're getting tricked and they're just too stupid to notice it. So Nate McMurray is going to come along and help them straighten themselves out for their own good. Because if they don't fall in line with what Nate McMurray believes, well, then they're eligible for slaughter. Unlike some politicians who tiptoe around and only get gutsy and slam dunk elections, I'm out here clapping back at the MAGA crowd, even in the tough spots, gun clubs, rural towns, and county fairs. I'm never going to physically hurt a soul, but I will hurt your feelings. You can't just starve extremism with silence. You've got to speak up and dish it out. So Nate McMurray, this very strong and brave and courageous man, he is willing to clap back and dish it out. It sounds like Nate McMurray spends a lot of time watching Joy Reid's show and other reality television and probably spending a lot of time consuming woke content on social media. Here's McMurray on video being very tough.
Trump is old. He's going to die. And a lot of these MAGA people, they ain't young. And there's way more of us than them.
Seems like a nice guy. He's so certain that he is correct politically based on what he has seen on television that he has no problem publicly wishing death on the rest of the country because he mistakenly thinks that his political viewpoint represents some kind of majority and there's going to be someone around at least to get his back. It's worth keeping in mind that what he is celebrating with these posts is the funding of Ukraine so that their Nazi battalions can keep fighting Russia. Now, it's worth saying, no one ever heard of this guy before Saturday. So if this is all a massive info op or a put on, I wouldn't be remotely surprised. Maybe we are just being shown what it would look like if there was a communist so Trump deranged and degenerate, so morally debased that they would literally run on directing the hate movement at MAGA in hopes of eliminating all of them. His campaign is, I hate them more than anyone else will, elect me. And we will see how bold they want to go with this narrative. It's not like New York's elections are real. But Nate McMurray has made himself a national name in a Democrat congressional primary. Usually when that happens, you can expect that person to win because the takeaway will be that there are American voters who really deeply support this sentiment. We will find out next week. But of course, it wasn't only the Trump deranged on the uniparty left attempting to popularize the approval of Mike Johnson's package, the uniparty right joined in the cause. The supposed genius and great one on cable television, Mark Levin, responded to a post on X, formerly Twitter, by Senator Mike Lee, who goes by Based Mike Lee, I guess to sound more based, which isn't actually necessary if you are authentically based. We can give Mike Lee the benefit of the doubt in this situation, but it's entirely possible that this is just contrived. This is just kayfabe between two firmly committed members of the uniparty right. Mike Lee wrote on Twitter, the Senate should say no to the warmonger wish list pushed through by Speaker Johnson. Mark Levin responded, quote tweeting Mike Lee, warmongers? That's pathetic, Mike. You use the language of the Chinese communists, Hamas terrorists, and old KGB Russians, not to mention the Squad and Bernie Sanders, to smear everyone and anyone who wants to help our allies. What's next? Neocons? Talk about the uniparty. Look who you're standing with. Now, Mark Levin is a neocon. That makes him a Trotskyite. He is also a militant Zionist. It is Mark Levin's political allies in the global regime who created the CCP and the KGB and Hamas. It was Mark Levin's friends who for the last four decades have made the Chinese Communist Party wealthy and powerful and influential. Mark Levin is absolutely a warmonger. He is absolutely a neocon, and he is absolutely controlled opposition in the uniparty. Mark Levin is one of the major voices on the uniparty right. He was supporting Ron DeSantis. He attests to the legitimacy of the fake president, Joe Biden. And I'm sorry if he's one of your favorite television characters, but at some point we're going to have to let go of all our favorite television characters. We have a neocon uniparty warmonger pretending that neocons, warmongers, and the uniparty are all conspiracy theories. For some reason, everybody is supposed to agree that Mark Levin is a genius. Oh, Mark Levin is the great one. What constitutes Mark Levin's greatness? Does he have a history of winning these arguments on behalf of the American people? No. He's just really good at making the case that the uniparty right are the good guys, not like their partners on the uniparty left, who are the bad guys. And he makes this case consistently to people who have been fed decades of marketing declaring his genius. At some point, we have to reject the clown show on television. And that includes, of course, the Daily Wire, who had themselves a big weekend too. The guy who's the off-camera force behind the Daily Wire, Jeremy Boring. He spends most of his on-camera time pretending to sell very manly shaving products, letting everyone know that he is almost certain who has the wee-wees and who has the hoo-has, while overseeing the world's largest producers of trans content. He joined the rest of his Ron-supporting uniparty right friends as they engaged in the online tickle fight with the uniparty left over the weekend, both of them joining together to celebrate their globalism while mocking MAGA. He wrote on X, formerly Twitter, "People who deny the moon landing or suggest America is evil for its use of atomic weapons against Imperial Japan, or who say that George Bush was behind 9/11, actually hate this country." And of course, the Daily Wire supports the official story within the central narrative when it comes to all of these hoaxes. They always support the truth of the underlying story, and then later on, when everyone has understood that the underlying story is false, they then take responsibility for being wrong about a few of the details, while letting everyone know that they were doing their best and that their thought process was still right. No one could have known back then what they have come to learn, despite the fact that we were saying what became true the entire time. The problem is that we are conspiracy theorists. Their goal is to let everyone know that our views cannot and should not be taken seriously, because if they were taken seriously, the controlled opposition dynamic would break down, and the producers of trans content over at the Daily Wire might have to talk about our stolen elections, or pandemic hoaxes, or the fake insurrection, or the fact that none of the justifications for these fake foreign proxy wars are valid at all. In response, the comedian Owen Benjamin highlighted another one of Boring's old tweets from 2021. Owen Benjamin's post reads, "Jeremy believes that if you don't think there's a panda right now on the moon getting attacked by a Muslim with Ebola on a hang glider, then you hate America and are unhinged." He was referencing a Jeremy Boring post on Twitter, now X, that reads, "It does. I'm partial to the Janssen jab myself because it's less novel, but I think the mRNA doses are swell. The COVID vaccines are likely the greatest scientific achievement of our lifetimes, and I would require everyone to get vaccinated." Now, of course, all of that was terrible thinking, and there was nothing to support that line of reasoning even at the time. You had to already be fully invested in to fully believe just rampant falsehoods to even consider a position like that. And going along with what I just said a couple of minutes ago, here is Jeremy Boring on June 19th, 2023, in response to a post by a man named Heath Mayo, who was asserting that there's nothing to debate, the vaccines worked, and he went on. Here's Boring's response. The vaccines worked at what? Preventing infection, preventing transmission, protecting children, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds? The vaccines may very well have had efficacy, but not as advertised or in line with their enforcement on people at virtually zero risk in the first place. But of course, everyone was at zero risk in the first place, and the vaccines did not have any efficacy. The only proof in vaccine efficacy exists in falsified statistics based on tests that don't work and simply correlated with a reduction in the recording of cases and deaths from the so-called coronavirus after the vaccines came out. Of course, that trend had already begun before the vaccines came out, and with any accurate recording, no one would have even understood there was a pandemic in the first place. And of course, that's because there wasn't one. Now, there was also some strange and maybe disappointing reaction on all of this from some people who we would commonly think would be more aligned with MAGA and America First, but may well be every bit as Con Inc. as the rest of them. Keep your eyes and ears open over the next 24, 48 hours for those people who are going really hard after the $60 billion worth of Ukraine funding, but failing to mention and failing to go after the $35 billion worth of funding for Israel and for Taiwan-related projects. And of course, none of them can be caught saying that Israel should not be funded. It's America first, except when it comes to Israel, and then it's Israel equal, or maybe even Israel first. And then, of course, they need to maintain the understanding of China as our emergent enemy, because keeping that narrative in place is going to allow them to continue extracting funding under the guise of protecting this country. And if indeed the people pushing these positions do happen to be uniparty, then they're probably more than happy to have Donald Trump's hands tied throughout his next term. That's the uniparty's goal now, because they know there's no way anyone's going to believe that Joe Biden won a real election, no matter how much the members of the uniparty right agree with the uniparty left that he did. All right, we will leave it there for today, and tomorrow get into some international news, some geopolitical news, with some of the fallout from the approval of Mike Johnson's package. I'll be back tomorrow at the same reasonable time on the same reasonable podcast network. I don't have a network. Masks and lockdowns don't work. They lied to you about a pandemic. And Joe Biden will never be president.
In my mind, that's the end game.
If you're listening to this episode for free, you can support me and support the show and the work I do by signing up for a paid subscription at imyourmoderator.substack.com. You can do so for as low as $50 a year or $5 a month. Comes out to under a quarter per episode, and you'll blast right through the paywall for all of the writing. The merch store is www.cancelcouture.com. And you can find everything else by heading to Linktree, linktree.com/I'mYourModerator. And I'll see you soon, out on the range.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
In my mind, that's the end game.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to follow what I'm reading and thinking throughout the day, you can do that by downloading the Telegram Messenger app and going to t.me/I'mYourModerator. On social media, you can follow me on Truth Social, Getter, and Gab, at I'm Your Moderator. I also have channels on Rumble and BitChute. If you'd like to follow the writing, you can find me at imyourmoderator.substack.com. The merch site is cancelcouture.com, or go direct shop.spreadshirt.com/cancel-couture. If you'd like to support the podcast financially, the best place to do that is Ko-Fi. Go to ko-fi.com/imyourmoderator. And all of these details will appear in the show notes with each episode. I'll see you soon, down on the range.
It's hell!